Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. All right. Before I get into the message this morning, I got to tell you a testimony. God has been working so mighty in my life, I find it so unbelievable. Been so unbelievable. For those of us you know anything about me, I had to take my state exam the other day. And I'm telling you, brethren, that was one of the hardest things I had to do in my life. I was planning on doing the exam before I got married, but for some reason, the whole stress of the whole thing, I couldn't do the board exam, and I couldn't do it. So after we got back from the honeymoon, the whole plan was for me to study for the boards. Brethren, when I took all the practice exam, every single last one I was failing. How can you take a board exam in the next few weeks, but you're failing? And I got on my knees and I started praying. I'm like, Lord, I have to pass this exam. I said, Lord, you got to help me. If you will let me pass this exam, I promise when I go to church, I will tell the testimony. I said, Lord, you got to help me because I don't know what else to do. Because I was going to say stressed, but Christians can be stressed. I was overwhelmed. I was going to work every day, working for 8 hours, 8.5 hours, running around on my feet, coming home, being a wife, studying all night. I couldn't function. And I said, God, this is too much for me to bear. You have to take this burden and you have to take care of it. And if I pass it, Lord, I come to church and I'll tell the testimony. So here am I this morning telling about the goodness of God. Amen. So the title of the message this morning is called, Shake Up or You'll Be Sifted. And like John mentioned, I scared him with the message because I guess he felt I was telling him to whatever. But anyway, so at this time, let's pray. Dear God, most gracious Father, I come right now in the mighty name of Jesus, dear God, knowing that I am weak, knowing that I am nothing, Lord, knowing that, dear God, I cannot preach this message, dear God, knowing that I have not the power or the strength to do this message, dear God. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just flow through me, that your Shekinah glory will flow on me, Lord, that you will speak a word to your people. Father, dear God, I am feeble and I'm weak, dear God, and I need your Holy Spirit to move in this place, dear God. Father, dear God, if there's any spirit of opposition in this place, dear God, I pray that you bind it right now so that your Holy Spirit will reign in this house, Lord. Father, dear God, your people need to hear a word. Your people need to get to the point in their life where they can live victorious life. Lord, your people need to hear a word from you today. And Father God, I cannot do it in my own strength. Amen. Father God, please speak through me today, God. Mold my lips, touch my lips with coals so I can speak, dear God, because Lord, you know I can't do it. So right now, dear God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will flow in this house and that you will dispatch your angels in this place, dear God. Because, dear God, the devil cannot take charge of your church anymore. Father God, reign in this place right now. Father God, take charge of your people right now. Father God, these mercies I do pray in the holy and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 22, 31 to 32. Please turn into your Bibles, my brethren. Turn to the scripture, and I'll read it in your hearing. It's Luke 22, 31, verse 32 to 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Praise God. Brethren, let us put this text into perspective. We need to understand that Peter was a Christian. He was a follower of Jesus. He loved Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He prayed with Jesus. Peter was on fire for God. Peter, he was the person who was just hungering for the word. He was thirsting for the word. And every chance he got, he was always in the presence of Jesus. He just wanted to experience the awesomeness of God. But one thing about Peter, he couldn't get enough of Jesus. Doesn't that sound like us today, Macedonia? Remember when we first got baptized, when the first time we got to the point in a relationship with Christ where we were spending time in Bible study, we were spending time reading the Word, we were coming out to prayer meeting, we were coming to Bible study, and we were on fire. We wanted to be in the presence of God all the time. But brethren, while Peter was experiencing God, the devil had a plan. The devil had a plan where he wanted to stiff Peter out, because he knew that if Peter was supposed to walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that Peter was going to be great. So the devil had a plan to stiff him out of the church. So my question right now is this. Is the devil trying to stiff us out of the church today? Despite Peter's walk with God and his potential for the kingdom of God, Peter had some issues. You see, Peter had some stuff in his life that wasn't so Christ-like. He had some stuff in his life where he was wrestling and he was struggling with sin. He had some stuff in his life that was hindering him from growing spiritually. He was struggling. This man was struggling with cursing. He was struggling with fighting. And Peter was the type of person, when somebody stepped to him the wrong way, he will set you straight. To put it bluntly, Macedonia, Peter wasn't converted. He just wasn't. And despite his willingness to forsake all, his job, his position, his wealth and everything, just to follow Jesus, he still didn't have the victory over sin. And right now we may wonder, how could Peter have spent so much time in the presence of God? He saw Jesus raising the dead. He saw Jesus healing the sick. He saw Jesus doing all these miracles, but Peter wasn't converted. But that doesn't make sense. Brethren, like Peter, we all love God. We all come to church. We are all a part of ministry. We are all about spreading the word and doing God's work. But despite all of that, sometimes in our walk with God, we still don't have the victory over sin. So right now, what sins do you have in your life the devil should sift you with? Like Peter, the devil, when given the opportunity, will sift you out of the church of the living God. But thank God for Jesus. Remember what he said to Peter. He says, Peter, I'll pray for you. Your faith will not fail you. You see here that Jesus stood in the gap. Jesus interceded for Peter. And if Jesus didn't step in and interceded when he did, Peter could have remained that sinful man. Peter could have been the one who wasn't going to be a part of the apostleship. Peter could have been the one to be sifted out of the church. We talk about Peter, and most of us can relate to him. But the question still remains, what does it mean to be sifted out? What does it mean to be sifted as wheat? Well, according to biblical references, sifting wheat was the process of separating. It was a process of filtering the good from the bad. In other words, it was separating the wheat from the chaff. And the whole purpose of this was to purify a product. It first started off with a process called the winnowing, where first the wheat would be moved in the air for the chaff to come off. And after that, it would be put in a sifter, and then you'd be rocking it back and forth, back and forth. And what would happen next is that the chaff would blow away, and what would be left would be wheat. The key thing for us to understand here, that there are two products that's left after the sifting. There's the chaff, and then there's the wheat. When Satan does the sifting, his goal is for nothing good to be left. His goal is to destroy God's people. His goal is to sift us out as the chaff. And that is why he introduces sifters in our lives in the forms of physical suffering. sifters in the forms of financial hardship, be sifters in the forms of temptation, sifters in the form of sinful lifestyles and practices, and sifters in the forms of trials and tribulation. One of the reasons why he does that is because he knows that God has a purpose for all our lives. Jeremiah 1:5 says that before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. This is what God was saying to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart for a work. So the devil knows that God is going to do something mighty in our lives. He knows that if we move under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that the church will be a threat to the devil's kingdom. He knows that if we stay connected to Jesus, that lives will be changed and souls will be won for the kingdom of God. He wants us to be spiritually dead so that we can stay in our sin-infested situation without getting the victory over sin. You see, he does not have a problem with us coming to church. He doesn't have a problem being a part of ministry. What the devil has a problem with is when you make the decision to be converted and have a closer walk with God. Are we here in Macedonia being sifted by the devil? Are we being sifted out of the chance of us knowing what the purpose of our life is? Are we staying connected to Jesus so that we don't get sifted? Another reason why he introduced the sifters of hardship, financial problems, sickness, is because he wants us to be discouraged like Job's wife. If we remember the story of Job, we remember that Job, he was a Christian. He was a leader in the church. He was influential. He was rich. He was powerful. But the thing about it, he got sick. So now we're wondering, if he's a powerful man of God, he's a Christian, how come he got sick? But look at the follow the story, we'll understand why. Job's situation got so bad to the point where people were praying for him. Family members were praying for him, but Job wasn't getting healed. What he was left with after everything was taken from him was an angry wife. She was an angry wife to the point where she was willing to give everything up and tell her husband, who was a Christian, to curse God and die. You see, the whole situation didn't make sense to Sister Job. All she saw was that her husband was a Christian. Her husband was faithful. Her husband was a man who was blessed and highly favored. And if he was a man of God, why was he suffering? Why was God punishing him if he was a man of God? As far as she was concerned, God wasn't acting right. Brethren, she got angry and she got discouraged. But brethren, let's pay closer attention to the story here. Satan was working through Sister Job to sift her husband out of the church. Satan was working through her to tell her husband, who was so faithful for years, to curse God and die. Is Satan using us to sift our brothers and sisters out of the church today? Is he using us to condemn that brother who is going through his Job experience? Is he using us to destroy each other? Saints of God, when we go through stuff in our lives and the situation seems so hopeless, when we see that we can't afford to pay our bills and we're losing everything, when we're going through a relationship that isn't working, and when we're going through all the different challenges of life, do we get discouraged like Sister Job? Do we get to the point where we become angry with God? Do we get to the point where we want to leave the church? Do we get to the point where we get angry and want to curse God? But saints of the living God, Psalms 121:1-2 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which makes heaven and earth. And Isaiah 43 tells me that, don't be afraid when you pass through the waters. I will be with you. When you cross waters, I'll be with you. When you cross rivers, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire of oppression, he will be with you. This is because the Lord God we serve is the Holy God of Israel, Amen. Our Savior. Amen. Brethren, what the devil intended for evil, God always turned it around. Amen. We have to understand that the devil only has influence, limited influence. All power belongs to God. Amen. When God sifts, it is to sift out the good. When God sifts, it is for the good to be left and the bad to be removed. When God sifts, He takes us through the refiner's fire where He will mold our character into one that becomes more like Him. When God sifts, He's making us more loving. He's making us more patient. He's making us more joyous. He's making us more temperate. He's filling us with His Holy Spirit. When God sifts, He's making us more victorious over sin. When God sifts, He's making us great. When God sifts, He won't give you more than you can bear. When God sifts, He will take you through that crucible experience and make you a greater Christian than the way you were before. When God sifts, He will give you the victory over all the trials and all the tribulations in your life, even before you go through them. Brethren, don't you want to be sifted by God today? God is saying to us today that those situations we are struggling with and we have not consulted Him about, He's saying today that we need to put it at the foot of the cross. Those things in our life that we have been struggling with for years, we've been praying about, we've been trying to get the victory over, He's saying today that we need to put it at the foot of the cross. Those things that only God Himself knows about, only Him knows about, He's telling us, my child, put it at the foot of the cross. He's saying, brethren, I don't care what it is, just come to you, come to me, my child. I'm willing to take care of you. He's saying today that we need to put all our problems, all our situation at the foot of the cross. Because He had already given us the victory. The fact that He came from glory to die on that cross, that was the time that we had victory over sin. Amen. Brethren, we have a decision to make. The sifting process is a serious matter. The question of whether we will be sifted by the devil or by God on an individual level will ultimately affect the shaking and the sifting of the church in the last days. God says in Revelation chapter 3, 15 and 16, let's all turn our Bibles right now to Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 15 to 16. When you find it, say amen. Now read it. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do we really understand what this scripture is saying? Do we? Well, let me put that scripture into perspective with a few excerpts from the book entitled Last Day Events. God is sifting His people. He will have a clean and holy people. But the church must be purged. There will be a shaking of the sieve. The chaff must in time be separated from the wheat. Divisions will come in the church. Two parties will be developed. The wheat and tares go together for the harvest. But when the law of God is made void, the church will be sifted by fearly trials, and a larger proportion that we now anticipate will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines by devils. And soon, God's people will be tested by fiery trials, and the great proportion of those who appear to be genuine and true will prove to be base metals. The shaking of the church will blow multitudes of people like dry leaves. Brethren, this is serious matter here. And he continues, the time is not far when the tests will come to every soul. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. Those who have step by step yield to the worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs will find it a hard matter. They will not subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death. The contest is between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. In this time, the goal will be separated from the dross in the church. Brethren, are we going to be sifted out? The question is this: are we going to be sifted by the devil, or are we going to be sifted by God? It would be a sad reality if we have been serving God for years, being dedicated Christians, coming to church on Sabbath morning every day, giving our tithes and offering, being a part of ministry, only to realize that we are shafted out of the church by the devil. And the people we least expect, like the drug dealers on the streets, the prostitutes, they could be the ones who will take our spots here in the church. To me, I think that's unacceptable. We cannot be serving God. We gave up so much to being God's church, and then to realize that we're going to be shafted out, and people we thought would never have a chance for salvation will be the ones taking our place here in the church. Have mercy. But I have good news today. Despite the fact that we're going to be sifted, God's church is going to stand despite persecution. God's church is going to stand despite hardship. God's church is going to stand no matter what the devil is going to present to us. God's church is going to stand no matter if we're going to be presented before judges and magistrates. God's church is going to stand no matter what. Revelation 12, verse 11, pointed out that some of us will overcome, and they will become the remnants of God. And those are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. If you want to be a part of the remnant of God, and that will be that group of people that Satan desires to sift, but Jesus prayed for them. And because Jesus prayed for them, they got the victory over sin. Because Jesus prayed for them, like he did for Peter, they became grounded in the world. Because Jesus prayed for them, they started spending more time in prayer. Because Jesus prayed for them, they were filled with his Holy Spirit. Because Jesus prayed for them, they were able to withstand the sifters of life and to become more like Jesus. Because Jesus prayed for them, they were able to go through the persecution in the last days only to become overcomers. Because Jesus prayed for them, they were able to see the promised land. Brethren, if we want Jesus to intercede for us, please stand to your feet. The Sabbath school lesson for this morning talked about a group of people. It talked about a group of people who was coming out of Egypt. It was a group of people who were highly favored by God. This group of people, while they were going through the wilderness to get to the promised land, God told them that he will lead them, that he will bless them. And he was leading them by night and cloud by day. But despite everything that God was doing for them, These people were murmuring and complaining. Are we, as a church today, murmuring and complaining? And as the story goes on, only two people from that great multitude were saved. Macedonia, are we going to be able to see the kingdom of God? Despite everything we've been going through, are we going to see the kingdom of God? We need to get sin out of our lives, and we need to start having a closer relationship with God. At this time, if you need special prayer, you could just raise your hand or come forward at this time. We have to remember that the God we serve, He came to this earth to die for our sins. And He's telling us right now that you don't have to be sifted by the devil. He's willing and He's just to do no matter what it takes to save you. And when He saves you, when He molds your character, you become more like Him. Father God, we come here today because we just want to praise you. We just want to lift your name on high. Father God, we have all heard the message today, dear God, and we all here struggle with some sin in our life. And Father, dear God, because of our sinful nature, the devil seeks to sift us out of your church. But Father God, right now, despite that situation, despite our weakness, despite our characters, Lord, I pray that you will give us the strength and the might to go through those situations, Father. Father, Lord God, I just pray that when we are being sifted, dear God, that you will mold us in your character so we can become more like you. Father God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will touch each person here today in a special way, Lord. Father, dear God, bless those who came forward here for special prayer. Lord, I don't know what their problems are, but Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch them in a mighty way so that when they leave this place here today, that they will not be the same. Father, dear God, I pray that you just bless your people and bless your church and wake us up, Lord. Father, dear God, we know that we are here for a purpose to proclaim your gospel. And Father, dear God, if you have got sidetracked along the way, I pray right now that you just clean your people up so that we can be ready when you return. Just want to thank you right now for hearing our prayers. These mercies I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.